Go here, there, and everywhere with Jeff Blair. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. Work can wait. It's time to talk sports with Jeff Blair.
You know, that Randy Carlyle's a kidder, isn't he? I mean, knowing that it was a loss to the Red Wings last season and his post-game comments that James Reimer played just okay, knowing that it set off a firestorm. I mean, the Leafs head coach couldn't wait to troll members of the media after last night's shootout win over the Red Wings.
He was just okay. I've been waiting a long time for that.
Yeah, that Randy Carlyle. Look, this probably won't be taken as a compliment by Reimer, but last night he did exactly what a quality backup goaltender does. Making his first start since November 15th, Reimer made 41 saves through overtime, stopped two or three shooters in the shootout. He's 3-0-0 this season when facing 40 or more shots and has a 1.94 goals against average and a .953 save percentage in those games. It's great numbers for a number two goalie. And they're interesting numbers, too, for a goalie whose biggest weakness, a lot of people say, is said to be a tendency to give up juicy rebounds. I mean, you'd think the more shots, the greater the likelihood of a rebound. But, you know, that wasn't the case Wednesday night. Reimer was the difference. Let's credit him. He was the difference with this game. And with back-to-back games coming up this weekend, Saturday again against Detroit and Sunday against the Kings, there are already a million online polls out there wondering who should start which game. Look, I think we should put a moratorium on all that, or on wondering whether Reimer can be a number one goalie in Edmonton or someplace else. The Leafs are on a roll with Jonathan Bernier shouldering the load as number one and Reimer as number two. It's working for once. So let's just leave it at that, okay?
The Jeff Blair Show is on the air on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Join the conversation with Jeff on Twitter using the hashtag Blair Show or call 416-870-0590. Now, here's Jeff Blair.
All right, a simple question for a snowy Thursday morning in Toronto. In your mind, is the Leafs goaltending situation settled now? A clear number one, a clear number two. I mean, it's got to be, right? And are you comfortable with it? This is, I think, the way it's supposed to be. And I don't want to, with back-to-back games, I don't want people to try to read too much into who starts what game or, indeed, whether or not somebody starts both games. I think let's just take the situation for what it is and go with it. We'll take your calls in a few minutes, but first we're joined by the assistant general manager of the 7-1-1 Leafs. That's in the last nine games, Kyle Dubas. Hey, Kyle, thanks for joining us this morning.
Hey, thanks for having me, Jeff.
Going to ask you this. Now, James Reimer played last night. We know the stats that NHL teams are 9-21-2 when they play goalies on their second nights. I want to ask you, is that just a coincidence or is it a valid stat? And I mean, when do you consider, you know, something like that to have a sample size that's statistically relevant?
Well, I think, you know, that statistic in particular, Jeff, goes back. It's not just a trend that's been occurring this season. It goes back for a number of seasons, and as the leagues travel and various different things have changed, and there are more back-to-back games incorporated into schedules, trying to play your goaltender in both of them, particularly when you have travel, as we did, leaving here and getting to Detroit about 1 o'clock on Wednesday, and then having to play on Wednesday night again. The travel is nothing bad about it, but it's tough, I think, especially on a goaltender and especially one in Jonathan that had played and faced a lot of shots in the third period on Tuesday night, and the history shows that, you know, you can expect a fairly significant difference in performance for a guy that's fresh playing that back-to-back game and give you a better chance to win.
Kyle Dubas joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Kyle, now that you've been here for a while, what's the relationship like between Jonathan and James Reimer? Because I think, you know, a lot of us in the media, and even those in the media who are around the team a lot more than I am, I think you kind of have a, you have a preconceived notion, I think. We have a preconceived notion of what the relationship's supposed to be between two goalies when one guy is getting more playing time than the other. And I don't, frankly, I don't know if we really have a clue what the perfect relationship's supposed to be. But you've seen these two guys up close. How does that work? Is that relationship working well?
Well, I mean, certainly, you know, statistically, it is. I mean, for us as a team, and I think it's fairly obvious we've needed strong goaltending over the last stretch here, and we've gotten it. And I don't really subscribe to the notion that the goaltenders need to be best friends. I think it's, you know, it's a relationship like in sports where you have, whether it's the quarterback in football or goaltenders in hockey, where it's really not interesting to people unless there's an alleged controversy or rift between the parties, and that's what makes for entertaining TV and radio and print media and stuff for the fans to talk about. But for me, the only thing that matters is are the goalies conducting themselves in a way that allows each of them to improve and gives them greater incentive to carry on their work ethic off the ice and improving their technique and able to help our team win. And they're two good goaltenders, and we're fortunate to have them both, and they're pushing each other to be better, evidently. So that's really all that I'm concerned about. You know, in my time around them, they appear to have a good relationship, professional, and push one another, and that's fine with me.
Kyle Dubas is assistant general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs, joining us on the Jeff Blair Show. What have you seen during this 7-1-1 stretch with this team, Kyle? The difference in the team now from that team that lost 9-2 to Nashville. I mean, salute gate or whatever the hell you want to call it. I mean, it can't have made that much of a difference, can it?
I think the only thing it does is it gives something for everyone to talk about. But as I've learned, Jeff, and if you've seen being around this market for a long time, it's only a matter of time until the next story comes along and it goes away, right? And that's what happens. I think it was something that was unfortunate that it cost a lot of people a lot of time in dealing with, but I found it to be just an interesting, for me as a younger person, my first year in the league, just an interesting lesson in how every small detail can become a massive story, and how you really have to be mindful of every small little thing that we're doing as an organization. I think, you know, some people would cringe at that, but I think it helps to make us better. And for me personally, it's allowed me to learn a lot in my first year in this league and at this level. In terms of what we've seen from the team and in this stretch of games here, to me it's been interesting. I think we've shown some signs, even in game, we're still trying to find our way, and we've been backed by some terrific goaltending, and you know, we've shot the puck very well, and it's been going in for us at a very high clip. And we've mixed that in with some real strong performance. I think the third period of that Tampa game, coming out of the where thereafter salute gate, as people have termed it, happened, and then our game against Detroit right after that, and then we go through stretches. The first period against Vancouver on Saturday, and the second period against Calgary, where we show the ability to really sustain offensive zone time and play a very, very sound game that's going to help us in continue to improve. And then we have stretches where we get into a bit of a shell, and our goaltending seems to always has been pulling us through that. But we need to continue to improve on our play and drive the puck to the other end if we're going to continue to progress as a team.
Kyle, Mike Santarelli scored the winner last night in the shootout, and I think it's safe to say that for a lot of people in Toronto, for a lot of us in the media, he has been he's been a revelation this year with not only his offensive performance, but just in general, his play in general. Can you walk us through the decision to bring him into camp? And I mean, I don't want to peg you as the stats guy, but Tell me what analytics tell us about Mike Santarelli, the player, because I know there are people out there who will say that, you know, some of the analytics don't necessarily favor Mike Santarelli's, ability to keep this performance up for the rest of the year.
Sure. Well, I wasn't with the team yet, and they had signed him, I think, right on July 1st or shortly thereafter. But to me, it was an interesting signing for 1 year to come in. He was on a great pace last year in Vancouver before he was injured and missed a large part at the end of the season. I think when I heard that people asked me that this week about Mike and whether, you know, what he's doing is sustainable. And I think that, you know, when I'm looking more so at his actual play rather than if he's going to continue to produce points and goals at the clip that he has, what's the process that he's engaging in on the ice, and is it helping us? And he is form with Nazem Kadri and a variation of other of guys on the left wing. Last night was David Booth. It had been Daniel Winnick before. It had been Joffrey Lupul before that. Him and Nazem have formed a good chemistry and have really been solid at being the line on our team that's really been excellent at driving play for us, regardless of who they're playing against or where they're starting their shifts or how difficult their minutes have been. And I think that's been a major thing to help us through this stretch and been fun for me to watch. Mike works incredibly hard. If you watch him in practice, he's always spending lots of time after with Chris Dennis, one of our assistant coaches, to continue to work on the same details of his game over and over. And that's something that that's been fun for me to see because of how hard he works for him to have success and get rewarded for that.
And it's interesting because for the past year and a half or even 2 years, Kyle, one of the storylines here has been finding someone who can play with Nazem, and that's not necessarily a knock against Nazem. I mean, look at the Olympic team. So much emphasis was finding somebody to play with Sidney Crosby. That's why Chris Kunitz came along. It's not always that easy to find that pair, is it?
No, and I think, you know, growing up and kind of hearing, you know, it was always a center to play with Matt Sundin, you're always trying to find pairings that can work in your lineup. And I think when it's anything other than the top line, there's always, and even in some of those cases we're talking about Crosby and Sundin, it's players on the top line, the lineup kind of fluctuates a lot more and it becomes a topic of conversation. And I think this year Naz has shown the ability to play with whomever he's been paired with and has done really well. I know at times the points weren't there for him, but I still felt he was playing well, and now he's starting to score and produce, and I think he's done that, as we just said there, with a variation of guys, and I think that shows good versatility for him, and he's still a younger guy with good potential ahead of him, and because he continues to progress, it should be fun to watch.
What suggests to you that this role that the team is on right now, Kyle, is sustainable? And no one's saying you're going to go 14-2-4 or 14-4-4. Well, maybe you can. I don't know. But what are you seeing that suggests there's a sustainability here?
I think the game last night, if we play like that every night, it's and our goaltender has to, you know, get us into, you know, for one, get us a point and win the game in the shootout. That's not a way I think that we really want to play every night, where we get out when it's 42-19 or the shots at the end of the game. We're not going to win many games, using that method. But I think if we look at, we look back to the game against Calgary and we'll put that game away, it was the, I don't think we played really well in the first period. They kind of took it to us in the second period. I really thought we showed what we're capable of. So I think if you look at the small segments of some of our games throughout this stretch since those two back-to-back losses to Buffalo and Nashville, we show stretches in every game of if we play the right way that this team needs to play to have success, we show what we're capable of, and it's just continuing to build that in and stretch it over complete games, Jeff. That's going to be the key, and that's going to be continue to be up to our entire staff, management, coaches, and the players to hammer that through and show what we're really capable of, because that's really the only way that we're going to have success over the long haul, over the rest of the season. I think we've seen, and I wasn't here, but watching from afar the last couple of years, what happens when you bank on hot goaltending and hot shooting, when it dries up, it's not a very fun thing to do. And right now I can tell you that the entire staff is working diligently to try to hammer home that style of play and those principles that we've shown when we've been at our best throughout this stretch. And I don't know that we've truly pieced together a full, complete game yet, but we're striving to get there and progress that way. And when we do, I think we'll see it all come to fruition and hopefully continue to build progress and move ahead as an organization.
Kyle, it was good of you to join us this morning. Thanks as always.
Perfect. Thanks, Jeff. Have a good day.
Take care. That is Kyle Dubas. He is assistant general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs. You can follow him on Twitter at Kyle Dubas. Got some breaking news. We're going to go to our Sportsnet 590 The Fan newsroom. Here is Andrew Nye. Mr. Nye.
Jeff, some potential disappointing news for those who wanted Mike Babcock to end up in Toronto. Bob Duff of the Windsor Stars reporting the Red Wings are close to locking up their head coach long-term, and an announcement is expected soon. Don't know if that's today, this week, but soon, they say. Not a real surprise, Jeff. I mean, he does have a pretty good resume.
Yeah, although, you know, I think a lot of us thought that he'd probably want to be in the market and maybe get that one big contract. But it's funny, last night during the broadcast, the point was made that that Mike Babcock had told reporters just in the course of conversation that he thought this might be the best Red Wings team he'd had or he'd seen since 2009. And he was very pleased with it. He's very pleased with the direction of the club, with some of the young players as well. And you really got the sense that this guy was really, I mean, as contented as head coaches ever are. So we appreciate Andrew Nye joining us again. Bob Duff of the Windsor Star reporting that Mike Babcock is close to signing a contract extension with the Detroit Red Wings. Put 100 Leafs fans in a room right now, and I guarantee you 90 of them will be pulling their hair out, because 90 of them thought that Mike Babcock was going to end up with the Maple Leafs, and I would include myself in that group. It just seemed to make sense. However, again, that breaking news, Bob Duff of the Windsor Star reporting that the Red Wings are close to getting Mike Babcock's name on a contract extension and that an announcement may be happening soon. So take Mike Babcock off the board. Maybe we got to learn to like Randy Carlyle. 416-870, not in a personal sense, but as a coach. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. So let's throw that out there. We are going to talk about James Reimer and Jonathan Bernier, and I'm making the point that let's declare a moratorium on trying to decide what the Leafs' goaltending situation is. We know what it is. Jonathan Bernier is number one. James Reimer is capable of being a very good number two. Let's not try to trade him someplace. Let's not talk about contract extensions yet. Let's not have polls on who should start the next game. The numbers suggest that if you want to win in back-to-back games, you've got to start a different goaltender in the second night. So let's just go with that. Let's just declare right now, Jonathan Bernier is the number one goalie, James Reimer is number two. I want to talk about that. I want to get your thoughts on that. Are you comfortable with that? Is it over? Is the issue done? 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. And in light of the news about Mike Babcock, are you disappointed? Did you think Mike Babcock might eventually end up coaching the Leafs? We could talk about goaltending. We could talk about Mike Babcock again. The breaking news, Bob Duff of the Windsor Star reporting that the Detroit Red Wings are close to getting Mike Babcock's name on a contract extension to remain as head coach of the Detroit Red Wings. 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. If you're in the office, if you made it in today, you want to join the conversation, but you don't want the guy in charge to know, you can go on Twitter. My Twitter handle is SNJeffBlair. Use the hashtag Blair Show and we'll get you on. Mike in Toronto, you're on the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
I'm just wondering when, you know, we've been talking about this for a couple of years now. Like, when is this team going to, you know, they always talk about, oh, we had a good period here, we had a good period there. Edmonton has some good periods, too.
Not as many lately.
But this is not a very good hockey team. And they get by on goals. You know, they've deflected 30, 40 pucks out of the air this year, and they go in the net, which is incredible. And then the goaltending. There's no talent. Like, do you not notice that every other team comes in, makes beautiful passes, the Leafs kind of dump, they rely on bounces, oh, the puck came out in front.
Are you kidding me? Are you serious, Mike?
They're awful. They're one of the worst teams in the NHL.
Are you serious? The way this team plays offensively?
This offensively, Jeff, it's a rush. They make a rush, they score.
But that's the but you just finished telling me that they dump the puck in. Now you're saying they make a rush.
Jeff, it's breakaways. It's 2-on-1.
That's not the same thing as dumping the puck in.
Kessel's last three goals are garbage. They're garbage.
Oh, Mike. You know, there's... Come on. Now, seriously. I mean, that's fine. Look, Mike, I have no problem with you, you know, if you look at 7-1-1 and are finding issues with it. And comparing the Leafs to the Edmonton Oilers. I mean, really. You know what? I kind of long for the days. I can't believe I'm going to say this. Some mornings I long for the days of the delusional Leaf fan. Some mornings I long for mouth breather radio, as we used to call it. I long for people calling up after back-to-back wins, saying we've turned the corner and Ron Wilson's really got a handle on what's going on here and Brian Burke has got the answer for everything and Jason Blake just needs more ice time and Vesa Toskala is so good and the parade could start here and they'd have to... How are they going to hold a parade with all the construction downtown? I long for those days. I just a little bit, maybe a little bit of delusion. Just a, you know, little tiny smidgen of delusion from Leafs fans. Just a bit, not much, just a bit. Ollie in Toronto. You're in Sportsnet 590, The Fan. I'm about to pound my head into the wall here, Ollie. Help me.
Well, it's the topic of Reimer and Bernier. I still don't think, I'm not convinced that we need, even though Bernier's been running with the show, I still don't think we need to say number one, number two. I mean, yeah, Reimer had, you know, the Leafs fell asleep those two games with Buffalo and Nashville, but Reimer had a great game, especially with Chicago yesterday. He's been up against some pretty big teams, and he's done well.
Well, yeah, and he's been fine, I think, as a number two. Correct? I think this is a great... I just think this is a good situation. I really do.
I think so, too, and I think what they're doing right now is running with one of the other goalies for a little bit of a longer term, which is good for both of them to get the groove going.
Yeah, I just don't want to... Thanks for the call, Ollie. I came in this morning, I sign on, and there's a couple of polls about, you know, should the Leafs consider giving James Reimer more playing time now after that outing? Why? 7-1-1. It's like we're reluctant to say that Jonathan Bernier is the number one guy and James Reimer is number two. And, you know, I know there are people out there saying, Jeff, if they lose two in a row, what are you going to be talking about Monday morning? If Jonathan Bernier lays a stinker, are we going to be saying, well, maybe you got to give James Reimer more playing time? Here's what will happen. If Jonathan Bernier lays a stinker and follows it up with the so-so outing, it's entirely possible James Reimer will start the next two games in a row. But I think we know where this goaltending tandem is right now. I think we know what the situation is. And I'm really happy with it. And I don't want to see any more polls about, does a guy need more? Does James Reimer need to play more? And who is the number one? And is it 1A and 1B? I don't need that anymore. Jonathan Bernier is the Leafs' number one goalie. James Reimer is a very good backup. There are a lot of teams that would like to have James Reimer as their backup. There are at least three or four teams that would probably like to have James Reimer as their number one guy. Period. Let's just live with that. Patron Woodbridge, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Go ahead.
Good morning. How are you?
I am doing well, considering it's snowing like all hell outside, and I just had a guy call up who thinks that all the Leafs do is dump the puck in and tip the puck in the goal, and then that they rush it in, and they have too many two-on-ones. But I'm okay other than that. I'm rallying. It's early.
That's right. Well, I want to say, first of all, that I'm the only Italian in Woodbridge that's not a Leaf fan.
So, for a minute, I thought you were going to say you're the only Italian in Woodbridge, and I was going to call BS on that.
Well, you know what? I'm a bit of a Bruins fan. I was born in Montreal. I've been a Bruins fan for, I don't know, over 35 years. But I have to admit, when the Leafs are on, I'm like a magnet. It's like a magnet. I have to watch them.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been watching this last little stretch. You know what? They're playing pretty good considering what they have. Like, you know what I mean? That goalie situation, you're right. It's a great situation to be in. So you got two guys that they can pick each other up if one goes down. So right now I'm happy with the situation. I think they may do all right.
Yeah, and, you know, I think maybe we have to give a little credit to Randy Carlyle here too.
I agree.
You know, because all we've talked about, all I've talked about for the most part, and all other people have talked about, I'm certainly not the only one in this regard, but I think we've been sitting here waiting for Mike Babcock or somebody else to eventually come in. We've been saying Randy Carlyle's dead man coaching, and you know, we've been criticizing him for a bunch of things, and lo and behold, they're 7-1-1, and yes, there are blemishes in that record. They still give up far too many shots. I mean, you can poke a hole in their game or holes in their game very easily, but they're 7-1-1. They're collecting points. And if you're going to sit here and hammer on the coach when they lose 9-2 to Nashville, as I did, and said that I thought he lost the dressing room, and I did, and I thought the team stopped playing for him, and I still think they stopped playing for him then, something has happened, and whether Randy Carlyle has stood back or whether Randy Carlyle has taken a leading role in this, or whether his assistants have taken a leading role, whatever has happened, things have turned 180 degrees. And if you're going to hammer on a guy when things are going badly, you've got to give him credit when things are going well. I mean, if I sit here and tell you that, well, the coach bears responsibility for everything, because he's the guy that controls ice time, and ice time is the currency of the game if you're a player, well, then you got to give it up to him when the team is playing well. And they have played well. And I think, as Kyle Dubas pointed out, there have been some things that have happened. Mike Santorelli's played well. I don't think anybody expected the type of offensive performance the Leafs got from Leo Komarov before he was hurt. But you know what? When teams have good seasons, you get stuff like that happening. When teams have good seasons, you get guys coming out of nowhere who get 40 or 50 points. So I think in light of the news about Mike Babcock today, I think maybe we ought to give Randy Carlyle a little bit of credit. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. You can join the conversation on social media. I will get to your tweets in a minute, but the Leafs played last night, right? Well, you know what that means.
Yeah, the Leafs played last night. You know what that means? Dangle dial.
Oh, dangle dial.
Jeff. We're going to talk about some stats. Are you ready for some stats?
Oh, I just talked to Kyle Dubas. I don't want...
have 4 points in the last two nights. That's really all I care about.
Okay, good.
The goaltending's been fantastic.
That's been good.
Can't take anything away from Jonathan Bernier stringing away. You know,
how's Mandela, by the way?
Solid games back to back, but he is not a magic angel robot from Winnipeg or whatever the hell James Reimer is. That amazing transformer of a human being.
Transformer.
Seriously, the Leafs should be buying him every beer for
He's a good Mennonite boy. He doesn't drink beer.
They should be buying him so many chamomile teas.
Yeah, that's
for
more
that
like
performance
it.
That he had.
Maybe a little Ral Kuchen and watermelon.
The shots. You know what? The Leafs were outshot 19-42.
Mm-hmm.
That's terrible, isn't it?
Isn't that terrible?
That's
awful.
1942.
Huh?
1942. Does that remind you of anything? How about the
war was on in 1942
Stanley Cup final when the Leafs were playing the Detroit Red Wings down 3-0 in the series? The Leafs 1-2-3-4 come back and they win the Stanley Cup.
What?
Lesson learned: odds are meant to be broken.
But huh? 1942. I see what he did. That's why he said the shots were 19-42 instead of 42-19. Ah. Yes, that's Travis McKenzie points out the Leafs are going to win the 42-19 Stanley Cup. In fact, that may be their next Stanley Cup win. That goes without saying. That's awful. I'm probably going to Leafs hell for that. That, ladies and gentlemen, was Steve Dangle, the one and only Steve Dangle. And no, I don't think that's his real name either. You can follow him on Twitter at Steve_Dangle. It does sound like a porn star's name, you have to admit. Anyhow, you can follow him on Twitter at Steve_Dangle. Sportsnet.ca is where you can find his video. He's also on YouTube. He's all over the place. And he's probably in some of those sites where when you go on them, you get that little thing that says your web filters block them. You know, the ones at Travis. Travis is always having issues with those things in the office. You may even find them on those sites as well. 416-870-0590, star 590, 888-666-0590. I know this. Your web filter will not filter out the Jeff Blair Show. We'll be back at 940.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand. Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
I'm going to give away a couple of Bills tickets later on in the show, by the way. We've got a couple of tickets to see the Bills play the Green Bay Packers in Buffalo on Sunday. An exclusive pregame hospitality at Rogers Tap House. Don't forget, if you're a Rogers customer with the Share Everything plan, you can roam like home for just $5 a day. All you have to do is text TRAVEL to 222 to enroll, and we'll figure out a way to give away the tickets. I've been told that some people aren't impressed that I've been pulling a number, a random number out of my ass to give away these tickets instead of having a skill testing question. So I'm going to have a skill testing math question that you guys are going to have to figure out, and I'll drop it on you later on. It's a tough one. It's like one of those where you have brackets and stuff, and you got to figure out which part of it you have to do first. It's not just simply take this number, add this number, subtract this. You're going to have brackets with division and all sorts of complicated stuff. So I'll give you a fair warning for that. I'll probably give it away sometime in the 11 o'clock hour or maybe 10. Won't do it now, but 10 or 11 would be my guess. John Paul Morosi is a national baseball writer for Fox Sports. He's going to join us at 10 o'clock. He's an expectant father. So we'll find out if the Morosis, we'll see if John Paul Morosi's made the biggest acquisition of the winter meetings or not. Actually, I'm surprised, frankly, if Mrs. Morosi gives birth, I still think Rosenthal will have it before anybody, don't you guys? Rosenthal will send it out on Twitter. Anyhow, we'll talk to John Paul Morosi about that. I thought it was pretty funny. Renaud Lavoie from TVA Sports, he'll join us at 10:15. We'll talk to him about the sort of breaking news that Mike Babcock is close to an extension with the Detroit Red Wings. That, as reported by Bob Duff of the Windsor Star. Sekou Smith is the writer and editor of the Hangtime blog and NBA.com. He'll join us in the 11 o'clock, a whole hour of baseball with Mike Wilner and Ben Nicholson-Smith from the winter meetings in San Diego. It's guys haven't had a whole hell of a lot to do because Alex Anthopoulos hasn't done much, but we'll talk to them. There may be some juicy rumors. And, of course, the Rule 5 draft is today, and the Rule 5 draft is where the Blue Jays got George Bell. And, yeah, not much ever happens at the Rule 5 draft. You really have to be a baseball geek to get worked up about that. Let's return to the phone line, shall we? I can talk about Mike Babcock if you want. We can talk about James Reimer and Jonathan Bernier. And I'm declaring it's no longer a thing. Bernier's number one. Reimer's a very good backup. Let's deal with it. Let's run with it. Let's enjoy. Let's not try to split the atom, folks, over this thing. Just take it for what it is. Bob in Toronto, you're on the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. So this is we're happy with the way the goaltending is right now, right? It's good.
It's a great scenario, except you just have to keep in mind that the success of the teams are really all about depth. And your starting goalie is a hamstring injury away from being your backup on reserve.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's important to keep your number two guy, whoever he may be, fresh. And to play once every 3 weeks, I was shocked to get the results that we got last night. But you go down the stretch and you play it that way, and Reimer doesn't get enough time in there, and then all of a sudden he's forced in. It's just not going to work for you. And that goes for any team. That's just not just the Leafs. You got to give your backup guy 25 games.
Absolutely. Really?
I believe.
Really? I'm kind of with Healy. I want my number one guy to play 65 to 70 games. I want Henrik Lundqvist as my number one guy. I want Carey Price as my number one guy.
Those are special guys. It was like Eddie Bell or Martin Brodeur. Those are really unique individuals. Today's NHL goalie is not built, or most of them are not built for those 60, 65 games.
All right. I'll see in that. And there's validity. No, absolutely. There's validity to your point. I'm not saying that you necessarily go 3 weeks without giving James Reimer a start, but I certainly don't have a problem with James Reimer getting a start, once every 4 or 5 games. I'm okay with that. Or once every 6 games, I'm okay with that. But I have no problem with the way Randy Carlyle's used his goalie so far. I think James Reimer's a perfect number two. Why don't we just bring Andrew Nye in here to co-host the damn show? Seriously, why doesn't he just move in here?
Holy moly.
Maybe not. We are going back to the Sportsnet 590 The Fan newsroom for yet more breaking news with Andrew Nye. This better be a good one, Nye, because I got a good caller on the line here.
I think it's better than the last, to be honest with you.
All right. I'll be the judge of that.
One of our resident Red Sox fans, Morning Show editor Brent Gunning, will be happy about this one. Apparently, the Boston Red Sox have found some starting pitching. Fox MLB analyst CJ Nitkowski says it's a done deal. Rick Porcello to the Red Sox. Yoenis Cespedes off to Motown, Jeff.
Okay. That's not bad. That is better than the last one. You're right. I stand corrected. Andrew Nye. So there you go. The winter meetings, trades happening as we speak. The hell, that's 6:45 in San Diego. Dombrowski must have got his ass out of bed early to get that deal done. Yoenis Cespedes, now at the Detroit Tigers. Rick Porcello to the Boston Red Sox. The Red Sox, tell you what, they're in absolute panic mode after crapping out in the John Lester sweepstakes. And a lot of people thought that Yoenis Cespedes, a lot of people thought the plan of attack was sign John Lester, trade Yoenis Cespedes, and get 2 starting pitchers. Well, John Lester ain't happening. He's gone to the Cubs, as we told you was likely going to happen. And now they've traded for Rick Porcello. Good move for both teams. My first reaction is good move for both teams. Rick Porcello doesn't scare the hell out of me if I'm a Blue Jays fan, to be honest. I'd much rather have him in my division than John Lester. So I'm looking at that and I'm going, it makes perfect sense for the Red Sox. Not certain it alters the balance of power in the American League East dramatically. But it did make sense that Boston was going to make a trade for a pitcher and also try to sign a pitcher. And I fully believe that they'll really be in the James Shields market right now. I don't know where Cole Hamels is going to end up. All the move Philadelphia made yesterday with Jimmy Rollins would suggest to me that Cole Hamels is on the block, but we'll have to wait and see with that. My sense is there'll be a few more moves at the winter meetings today, although I'll be surprised if any of them are done by the Blue Jays. Anyhow, John Paul Morosi, the national baseball writer for Fox Sports. Is that not great timing or what? He's going to join us at 10 o'clock, so we'll talk about the Red Sox-Tigers deal. We'll talk about the Dodgers trying to steal the show and maybe the National League West Division in San Diego as well. But before we do that, let's try to get another call in before Nye finds another breaking story to screw up our flow here. Jeff in Mississauga, you're on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, you, sir, are on the Jeff Blair Show. Mike Babcock, there's two things we can talk about. Mike Babcock apparently is close to a contract extension, so he ain't coming here. We may have Randy Carlisle for a while. And alongside that, the Leafs goaltending situation, which I am hereby declaring a non-situation. Jonathan Bernier's number one, James Reimer's number two. Giddy up.
All right. Some teams win because of their coach, and other teams win in spite of their coach. Nobody's going to suggest after watching that game last night that Randy Carlisle out-coached Babcock. The Leafs were absolutely dominated. And if you go back to the previous game, Leafs were leading 2-0 against Calgary after two, rolling four lines. All of a sudden, the fourth line sits for the rest of the game. And Kessel, one of the worst defensive zone players in the NHL, is out every other shift. So, again,
I thought Kessel had one of his – I thought Kessel might have had his best game in about the last 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah, but he's still frightening in his own zone.
But,
I mean,
yeah,
the puck comes around the boards to his size. The best he'll do is bang it back around the boards, and hopefully somebody will be there. I mean, he is frightening. When you're leading 2-0, why do you have Kessel out there every second shift? You want to protect the lead.
Okay. I don't know. I'm just I can't sit here and defend Phil Kessel as a defensive player, but you know he was one of the least best forwards last night, and I think Randy Carlisle. We've talked about this. He's like any other coach. When it comes down to the end of the game, Randy Carlisle more often than not is going to go with the guy who has performed for him throughout the game. And I thought Phil Kessel was one of those guys. Man, I figured this would be streamers and balloons and whistles and everything here. Twitter's reaction pretty measured. There's still, I don't know what it is. There's still a lot of people out there who, I don't know if they want James Reimer to be number one, but there's still a lot of people out there who are really skeptical about Jonathan Bernier. I like Jason McNeil's tweet. Yes, why should your top goal scorer be in the ice to make it possibly 3-0? Carlisle needs to go. That's not a bad tweet. James Ryan on Twitter. Nonis caused a problem in the crease, and Carlisle crushed number 34's confidence. Chris Moncada brings up a good point. Reimer's great, but at $2 million next year, it's rich for a backup. No cap space will be at a premium. I suppose he can worry about that, but I don't want to worry about next year right now. This team's 7-1-1. We thought the 18-wheeler was going off the cliff 9 games ago. And now not only is the 18-wheeler on the road, but it's like it's had an overhaul. Very quickly, we'll go to Mitch and Vaughn. Very quickly, you're in Sportsnet 590, the Fan. Go ahead, Mitch. I want an optimist. I want an optimist to end the show, Mitch. Or to end the hour.
Well, it's about as optimistic as you'll get with James Reimer. I don't know what the deal is with a lot of Leaf fans. I think they're in a fantastic situation. In my opinion, I was having this debate yesterday. I'm not a Leaf fan, but I think that James Reimer is better than a good handful of starting NHL goalies. I think he's better than Pavlik, Mike Smith, the new version of Mike Smith, Braden Holtby. Even to an extent, I think he's a better goalie than Corey Crawford. Crawford just has the benefit of having a great team in front of him. But I think that James Reimer is a fantastic goalie. And I don't know, I don't know if you say he gets the short end of the stick in Toronto, but Bernier's a great goalie as well. it's like Manny Fernandez and Dwayne Rolison in Minnesota in 2004. They went to the conference finals. Mm-hmm. They had a great goaltending tandem. I don't know what the big deal is here.
That's a good point. Listen, I appreciate the call. An optimist. Thank God we have found an optimist. I didn't want parade route or any of that. I just wanted somebody to tell me that, you know, I wasn't off base, kind of liking what I've seen lately. This team, and I know there's a crisis around the corner. I know that. I've lived in Toronto long enough to know that calamity just lurks around the next corner with all the sports teams. You know that as well as I do. Somebody's going to get hurt. Something's going to happen. You know calamity lurks around the corner. I'm enjoying this right now. So a trade in Major League Baseball. Jonas Cespedes is now with the Detroit Tigers. Rick Porcello off to the Boston Red Sox. The LA Dodgers essentially remaking their roster. Picking up Brandon McCarthy as well, which is a pretty nice pitching piece, Dad. John Paul Morosi is a national baseball writer for Fox Sports. We're going to talk a little baseball with John Paul Morosi on the Jeff Blair Show at 10 o'clock, followed by Renault of Waseku Smith, and then a whole hour of ball. John Paul Morosi's next when the Jeff Blair Show continues on the home of the Leafs and Blue Jays and delusional Leafs fans everywhere. Sportsnet 590, The Fan.